الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. We find ourselves at the end of the month of Dhul-Qa'dah. And in a few days, inshallah, the month of Hajj will begin. And these will be the best days of the year. The best days of the year are the first 10 days of the month of Hajj, the month of which is called Dhul-Hijjah. And we also have, mashallah, brothers and sisters who are leaving for the Hajj as we speak, you know, yesterday, today, tomorrow, in these days. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them safety. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them acceptance. We ask Allah azza wa jal to accept their worship, their du'as, their supplications in the favor of our brothers and sisters in Gaza. Allahumma ameen. As we enter the season of ibadah, my brothers and sisters, at the same time, unfortunately, we are also entering into the season of al-fahisha, the season of immorality and indecency. And generally, we find this to happen due to the warm weather and the effect that it has on people, but also due to specific celebrations that we find around us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Qur'an, in Surah An-Nur, ayah number 21, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ وَمَنْ يَتَّبِعْ خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَإِنَّهُ يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. O believers, do not follow in the footsteps of shaitan. Whoever follows the footsteps of shaitan, then let them know that he, shaitan, surely bids immorality and wrongdoing. إِنَّهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Shaitan, what does he do? He calls towards, he commands immorality and wrongdoing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Surah Al-Ankabut, ayah number 45, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ. That surely salah restrains one from immorality and wrongdoing. Same wording. فَإِنَّهُ شَيْطَانْ يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. So you have these two polar opposites. You follow in the footsteps of shaitan. Shaitan is going to command and bid immorality and wrongdoing. On the other hand, salah, indeed, it restrains one from immorality and wrongdoing. So we have these two pathways, right? The path of shaitan and the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ. The remembrance of Allah is even greater. Right? Even greater, some say, an even greater deterrent. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fully knows what you all do. Allah azza wa jal also tells us about Prophet Lut alayhi salam. Surah An-Naml, ayah number 54. وَلُوطًا إِذْ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ أَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ أَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ وَأَنْتُمْ تُبَصِرُونَ. And remember Lut when he rebuked his people, saying, do you commit that shameful deed? Do you commit that fahisha? While you can see, right? So either while you can see the truth that it is wrong, or while you see each other, right? And you commit this act. Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us, Surah Al-An'am, ayah number 151, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ. Do not come near al-fawahish. Do not come near immorality, indecencies, openly or secretly. Whether it is out in the open, or whether it is hidden and no one knows and no one sees, in both situations, do not come near. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا. Do not even come near towards al-fawahish. Now my brothers and sisters, being in an environment of open fahisha can have varying degrees of impact. You see, we are products of our culture, of our environments. Yes? A person, no matter how much we try, we cannot live in a bubble. Yes, we try as much as possible to protect ourselves, to protect our loved ones. But at the end of the day, we live in this dunya, we live in this world. And at some point, there will be some exposure, some interaction, something to do with these things. You know, similar to, for example, riba. If somebody wants to stay away from all types of haram financial transactions, very good, alhamdulillah, we try our best. But at the end of the day, at some point, there is going to be some interaction with the conventional system, which is based on riba, and which is based on things which are contrary to Islamic teachings, right? So we live in this dunya, and this dunya has all of these things around us, and at some point we are going to have to interact, or we're going to be affected, we're going to be influenced, there's going to be something, right? We cannot completely put ourselves on a different planet, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us on this earth, and we have to face these things in this dunya. So what should we do? So what should we do about this? So first of all, as we have discussed in previous weeks, we must protect ourselves and our families. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Right? And protect yourself and your loved ones from the fire. Yes? And what are the things that lead us to the fire? Right? Are these types of things, the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially when it is of such a serious nature. So we have to protect ourselves and our families. The first thing, my brothers and sisters, for ourselves and to teach our children as well, is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have taught us, should be our response to anything inappropriate that we come across. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبَصَارِهِمْ وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبَصَارِهِنْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tell the believing men, and the next ayah, believing women, to lower their gaze. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, as related by Buraydah radiyallahu anhu, لَا تُتْبِعِ النَّظْرَةَ النَّظْرَةَ فَإِنَّ لَكَ الْأُولَى وَلَيْسَتْ لَكَ الْآخِرَةَ. That do not follow one glance with another. Verily you are excused for the first one, but not for the second. So this is something very simple, yet also powerful, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have given for our toolkit. Yes? That when we come across something and we are not able to control it, yes, we are not able to control that thing, it is not in our control, and we come across it, so the first thing we do is we turn away. We avert our gaze, we turn away from that indecent, immoral, impermissible action, material, image, whatever it is. Okay, so this is the very first thing for us to understand. Why? Because if we start looking and we look back again and we start getting interested, then that is going to open the door to being influenced and being affected by the evil effects of that indecency, of that immorality, of that haram. So the first thing we do is we turn away. And the Prophet ﷺ also tells us that the first one is forgiven, right? The first exposure is forgiven because we don't know. We may not know that we are coming across something of that nature. So if you come across it, the first one, which is unintended, the first glance or the first exposure, which is unintended, that is forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it was not in our control. But if we follow it up with interest, and now knowingly, intentionally exposing ourselves to such things, then for that we are going to be held accountable. So that is the first thing that we learn, to turn away whenever there is something that is which is immodest, indecent, impermissible. Number two, we keep away when we are able, right? So that was a situation in which we have no control. When we do have control, then we try to keep away and we try to keep our loved ones away as well. You know, and this is particularly when we're talking about especially younger children, when we talk about books, you know, that they're going to read, storybooks. You know, when there's shows that they're going to watch, you know, on their devices or whatever. Or maybe, you know, you're going to watch a movie or something. Or, you know, whatever they're doing on the internet, right? I'm not saying this as encouraging these things, but what I'm saying is these are practical realities that people deal with. And before any of this type of media consumption, in most cases, you can actually look it up beforehand. You can actually search up a book, the title of a book, and find out what it's about. Does it contain this type of material or not? Or a show, or a movie, or whatever, a kid's movie. Or even for the internet, of course, for many younger kids, you can have YouTube Kids, for example. Or you could have, you know, parental controls and filters that you install to limit the exposure to our children, our loved ones, regarding these things. Now, of course, we're not able to control forever, so I want to caution that along with control, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute, we also need to educate and teach as well, right? We cannot just control, control, control. How long are you going to control your kids? One day they're going to be able to bypass all your controls. One day they're going to go out, they're going to know more about technology than you do, even if you're, you know, a tech guy maybe, right? Yes, one day they're going to go out on their own when you're not going to be around. Yes, so only control doesn't work, because when there's too much control and no education, then what happens? As soon as the control is gone, it has reverse effect on many people, because they've been held back for so long and so controlled that now they want to experience freedom to the fullest. So there has to be a balance. But yes, when the children are very young, yes, there has to be an awareness about this, that we're not just openly allowing them to watch whatever they want, just give them the device, give them the phone because it's good babysitting, and then they watch whatever they want. They, you know, they're just, we just leave them, right? Even books, by the way, sometimes you'll find books that look like, you know, there's someone with a hijab on the cover. You know, it looks like it's going to be a nice Muslim book, a storybook for children, or maybe it sounds like a Muslim author. Read the book first. Search up the title first, right? Because, you know, never judge a book by its cover is the saying. So look into it, because you don't know what's going to be inside sometimes, okay? So that's B. One, whatever we are able to control in a good way, we do that for ourselves and for our families as well. Thirdly, you know, when it comes to our children, once again, in schools, you know, we have to be open about our needs and our expectations first. If you do not set our expectations, we do not communicate what our concerns are, then we don't really have a right to get upset. Yes, first we have to make clear what is the issue, what is our concern. So inform the school about any faith-based restrictions, any exemption requests, you know, any concerns that you have. Communicate that first to the school, because that way we have done our job, and then the ball is in their court. Yes, they may honor our request or not, that's a different story. But at least we have communicated what our concerns are, and we have registered our concerns. And fourthly, my brothers and sisters, getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As just read, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. So get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, increase in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's through salah, whether it's through tasbih, tahleel, you know, istighfar, takbir, whichever form of dhikr we take, recitation of Qur'an, listening to Qur'an, the more dhikr we have in our lives, the more dhikr there is of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the lives of our children, of our families, then it will help develop a stronger Islamic identity, inshallah. It will bring us and our families closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the closer a person is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more difficult it gets for shaitan to influence them through his whisperings. Right, it's as simple as that. The further a person away is from the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the closer he's going to be to shaitan or being influenced by shaitan. Okay? So it's a zero-sum game, right? If one goes up, the other goes down. Okay? The dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes up, then the influence of shaitan goes down. It doesn't mean that a person is totally immune, but the risk goes down. And if a person lowers the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their life, then they are more susceptible to being attacked by shaitan. It's as simple as that. Okay, so we try to increase the dhikr in our lives and in the lives of our families, and inshallah it will help them be, and help us be protected by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so that is basically the first category of protecting ourselves and our families. Number two, my brothers and sisters, is to discuss and to explain. To discuss and explain. This is part of tarbiyah. This is part of education. And nowadays, we need to explain the reason to the children. Back in the days, mashallah, many of us, we were growing up, was sami'na wa ata'na. There was no other option. You hear, you obey, khalas. Okay? You don't ask why. Even if you ask why, that becomes why you ask why. Okay? So there's no why. Yes, that's how many of us are raised, let's be honest. Okay? But nowadays, this is not how children are raised in the society. This is not what they learn in schools. They are learned to be inquisitive. They are learned to be. They are taught to be curious. They are taught to be taught to ask questions, to ask why. The why doesn't necessarily mean to. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's a challenge, the why. But rather, it's why. You know, like they want to know why. Okay, so we have to give them some why. That why could be because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said so, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hakim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most wise, He knows how we are, and this is the harms, this is, we have to give some sort of explanation. Okay, if you don't give explanation, sooner or later, somebody else is going to be giving other explanations, and you're going to find yourself in trouble. Okay, so, the point is that children need to be vaccinated. What do they need to be? Vaccinated, inoculated against incorrect beliefs and practices that are prevalent in society. And what does that mean? It means that we educate them in an age-appropriate way about the things that people are doing and what is our belief about it and why. Yes, this needs to be done. Because if we don't do this, then what's going to happen? Those ideas and those beliefs are going to reach them first, and they're going to be a blank slate. Their spiritual immune system will not have any way to cope with it. Right? Just like a person who is not vaccinated, who is not inoculated, I don't want to get into a discussion about vaccines, but generally, a person whose immune system has not been exposed to a foreign, you know, agent, they're not going to be able to respond appropriately, right? Because they don't know how to respond. So similarly, our children also need to be educated about these things. And what does it do? It builds resiliency. It equips them on what to do and how to process these situations when they face immodesty, when they face haram. Because again, eventually they're going to come across it. Either it's going to be on a device, either it's going to be a friend or a classmate or someone who's going to show them, a peer who's going to show them something, or they're going to come across something in school, they're going to hear something. Eventually it's going to happen. Right? So the better we can prepare our children and make them resilient, the better the chance that they will be able to respond in an appropriate way. Will they make mistakes? Of course they'll make mistakes. Who here has not made a mistake when we were growing up? Everybody has made a mistake. Right? Everybody did things that we probably look back and we're like, oh, you know, I'm ashamed of doing that. You know, why did I do that? So everyone's going to make mistakes. We can't expect our children to be angels. We weren't angels ourselves. So how can we expect our children to be angels? Right? They're not going to be angels. But if we prepare them, then inshallah they'll be better equipped to deal with this, with various things that they face. Now I know it is much easier to ignore. It is much easier to ignore because it may be uncomfortable, right? Or we may not know how to approach it, right? We may not be equipped. We may feel that we are ill-equipped or we are not equipped to deal with these things. But, you know, leaving them unprepared will make them more vulnerable to accepting what comes to them. And by the way, it's happening early and earlier now. It's not how it was when you were growing up, when I was growing up. It's earlier and earlier and earlier. And I can tell you that the greatest risk right now is for children from JK to grade 3. Kids, JK to grade 3 are at the greatest risk. Why? Because that is their formative years. That is the years when they're innocent. They're an open book. They're a blank page. Whatever they're told, they'll believe and they'll accept. So that is where the greatest risk is right now. And if you have children in this age group, then you need to be especially cognizant and paying attention to these matters and working on building their strong Islamic identity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. Number three, my brothers and sisters, the third category is to educate and to advocate. So first of all, educate yourself on the detailed Islamic perspective, you know, on these issues. You know, it's one thing to say, oh, everything, all the colors are haram, for example. Okay, it's haram, khalas, 5-second conversation. Okay, but no, there's more to it. You can't, you know, talk about the issue, you can't educate people, you can't advocate if you don't understand the subtleties, the context, the nuance, you know, the arguments for, against, all of those things, right? We need to be educated and prepared. So educate yourself on the Islamic perspective and also on how to counter the arguments that support these types of things. You know, how do you navigate it? How do you explain it in a way that makes sense to people? Right, and then find opportunities to educate and advocate others, and especially decision makers. Especially decision makers, you know, whether it's at the school, whether it's politicians, whoever it is, people who are making decisions, people in positions of authority, educate and advocate to them as well. But it's very important that we be polite, and we also recognize the good. We thank the good that maybe they may be doing or that they are part of, and we share this knowledge and we educate them with hikmah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, ادعوا إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن. So invite to the way of your Rabb with wisdom and kind advice. And only debate with them in the best manner. And that's the third thing. You don't start with a debate. Yes? You start off nicely, sharing, explaining. And in case there is a discussion, a debate, then we do it in a nice way. Why? Because many people do not know any better. They don't know any better, really. Or they have been trapped by shaitan. Or they have come under pressure. They have come under pressure from others. And probably they do not have the same reference points as us. They don't believe in the Quran and the Sunnah. They are not looking at the issue from the same perspective, the same angle that we're looking at it from. Thus, we need to advise and educate in a manner that actually makes sense to them. You know, if you talk about Quran and Sunnah to a person who does not know Quran and Sunnah, she doesn't believe in Quran and Sunnah, they don't know what it is. You're not on the same wavelength, right? You're like on different frequencies, right? So we have to speak to people in a language that they understand. Yes? And finally, you know, this may seem like a lot. Sometimes you may feel like it's too much. You may feel overwhelmed. So at that point, my brothers and sisters, actually throughout, but especially at that point, it's very important that we place our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we say, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil, ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for us, and He is the best disposer of affairs, and He is the excellent protector and the excellent helper. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our children, our future generations, from every type of immorality and sin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide those who are misguided. We ask Allah azza wa jal to grant His wisdom to deal with the challenges of the time. Allahumma ameen. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We'll take a quick break and we'll continue, inshallah.